More raise up your right hand to the heavens and declare this loud and clear.
Any power
pressing my head down. You don't understand. When you want to rise and something you say no, go down.
Any power
pressing my head down.
Catch fire
in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and declare it. If it's pressing your head down, command them to catch fire in the name of Jesus. That's right. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, opportunity about us. I puncture your power. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and decree it. All those powers are birthing opportunities. Puncture their power. That's right. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, every yoke assigned to frustrate me, break in the name of Jesus. Break the yoke right in the name of Jesus. Makate la kaya bo shendera bo kopola bakandara. Yes, yes, yes. The yoke assigned to frustrate me, command that yoke to be broken. In Jesus' name we pray. Now louder than anyone around you, say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Arise. Move me forward by fire. In the name of Jesus. Why is the Lord God of Elijah? Arise. Move me forward by fire. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for a wonderful time like this. We thank you for this gathering of your eagles here tonight. Thank you because your power is the greatest power. And thank you because of the blood that was shed on Calvary. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I soak every brain, every heart, every spirit in this building today in the blood of Jesus. Let the spirit of understanding and wisdom come upon your children here in the name of Jesus. And by the time we finish from here, let our lives move forward. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
A louder amen.
Amen.
Shout a loud hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, God bless you. So I believe that those who are gathered here tonight are eagles who want to fly. Amen. So you have just succeeded in enrolling yourself into a school that will change your destiny.
Yes.
So that's why we call it Leadership Clinic. The first thing we like to study, and which is very, very important in this Leadership Clinic, is the module one, hearing from God. What did I say? You have to listen very, very carefully and make sure you understand. This is Bible study, it's not preaching. So you have to listen very carefully and follow every point we're going to make and make your own notes too, so that you can go home and look through it. It is not possible to cover everything in the paper at meetings like this. So the beauty of the outline is that you take it home, take your Bible, and then look at it, and study it, and make sure you understand. And then when we gather again, if you have questions, you are free to come and ask questions on whatever you don't understand on the outline as we are going along. So technically, what I want to do today is to teach you something that will move you to the highest level. Amen. Some time ago, there was a king who had a beautiful daughter. The daughter was so beautiful that the king decided that it's not good for a beautiful girl like this to marry ordinarily. So he decided that whoever was going to marry the king's daughter must pass a test. And so an announcement went throughout the town. The king wants to give out his daughter in marriage. Anybody who can pass the king's test will marry the king's daughter. Everybody was excited. And on that day, all the bachelors gathered themselves at the front of the king's palace. Everybody wants to be king's in-law. So they gathered there to hear what the competition will be. Then somebody came out and said, okay, how many of you want to marry the king's daughter? I said, ah, me. Okay, all right. Only one test to pass. You have to swim across this river. There's a river close to the town there. So just swim across the river. Once you swim across the river and you appear at the other end, you are already married to the king's daughter. Now, there was not a problem. There's no problem with swimming across river. As many people can swim. But the problem with our river is that it had a minimum of 100 crocodiles. So immediately they said, which river? Say that one. Most people just started going home. Say, if I want to marry king's daughter, that doesn't mean I should die here. So they started going home. And the crowd was thinning out. All of a sudden, as they were going home, there was a splash in the water. Somebody was inside the water. Wow. The person still had his clothes on. The man swam like no man's business. All the crocodiles just converged on him. And they were pursuing him. He was swimming. He swam with all his strength. As he was about to get to the other hand, the crocodile grabbed his shoes. Fortunately, it was only a few scratches on his left leg and the shoe that went. But he succeeded in getting to the other hand. People were clapping. Hey, congratulations, congratulations. How you've just married the king's daughter. The man was not smiling. He was not smiling at all. He was not impressed. He said, no. Don't congratulate me. Just tell me who pushed me inside that water. Here was a man who was already going home, believing that he cannot do the swimming. But by the time somebody pushed him in, and the crocodiles were after him, he swam like no man's business. So what I want to do tonight is to push you into Crocodile River. And then watch you swim. Amen. I got born again 1974. Some of you were not born at that time. Two things. There were two experiences that challenged me and changed my life as a born-again Christian. They thoroughly challenged me. I got home, I could not sleep. Let me describe them to you briefly so you know where we're going tonight. The church we were going to many, many years ago, we had a strange pastor. We called the man the bearded pastor because he had beard like this. Baboni Rubon. That was his name. One day we got to church and there was a revival service going on. I was at the back, at the door, at the back. And this Baba, the pastor, was at the front. As the revival was going on and we were doing praise worship, a woman was coming in through the back door. The woman had a baby at the back. All of a sudden, I saw the Baba jump down from the pulpit. He ran straight to the back where I was standing. And this woman was also singing and coming in. And the Baba came and confronted the woman. I said, hey, madam, when you come to our church here, you don't come here walking upside down. Walking upside down. The woman I was seeing was standing with two legs. She had a baby at the back. Yet somebody came from the front, an old man who was old enough to give birth to 10 of me, ran to the back and was able to see that this woman that I was looking at that was standing on two legs was actually walking upside down. And the woman said, yes, yes, daddy, I won't do it again. Yes, daddy, I won't do it again. Said, yes, daddy, you won't do it again. I thought the woman was going to lose her temper. What do you mean? Well, you saw me on my leg. You said I'm walking on my head. What do you mean? But the woman said, yes, daddy, I won't do it again. Everything they said in that revival, I didn't hear again. No, I didn't hear again because I said, look at me. I claim to be a young boy. I claim to be born again. I claim that I'm serving Jesus. I claim I'm going to heaven. This Baba is an old man. He can give birth to 10 of me. He could see that somebody was walking upside down. Me, I was standing beside the woman. I did not know that I was standing beside somebody who was walking upside down. Something was wrong with me. So I got home very depressed and unhappy. I said, what kind of thing is this? Why are my own eyes closed and his own eyes open? It is part of what we're talking about tonight. When your eyes are closed, you are in trouble. This is what you must understand very, very well. That's the first experience. That shook me seriously. It made me take this topic of tonight seriously. And no, at whatever cost, whatever is going to cost me, I must get to a level where I can hear and see in the spirit realm. That is why we're here. That's why it's a very serious matter. That's why this meeting is for eagles. It's not for those who just want to come to church and do praise worship and sing and go home. It's for those who are looking up and they want to be flying eagles. It's for those who in the future would like to be prophets. Those who in the future would like to be leaders who cannot be deceived. I pray that the Lord will promote you to that category. Your amen is very weak. The second experience, I used to be in the choir. And in our church in those days, we have what to call processional hymn. We have what to call recessional hymn. Processional hymn, every morning before the service starts, the choristers will wear their choir robes, they will gather outside. Once they gather outside, the pastor will come, the elders will come, and we will pray a short prayer. Then they play the processional hymn, and all of us will take our hymn books and sing and enter into the church. That was in those days, the processional hymn. One day we gathered outside as usual. The choristers in their choir robe, the elders were there, the pastors were there, and we're going to pray before we get inside. All of a sudden, as we're about to start praying, a senior pastor, a superintendent, an old man came. And normally, in that denomination that I belong to, once a senior pastor comes, he takes over the service. So this senior Baba, an old man, gray hair, came. And immediately came, Baba, welcome. We're just about to start the service. So, and since he was the one that was most senior, he took over the service. And he said, okay, everybody bow down their heads. He said, I want one of the elders to pray. One elder, very popular, said, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus. The Baba said, shut up! Shut up. So why should you hang magic power on your neck and you are praying where I am standing? Magic power? In this place outside the church? And this is the man who used to pray fire prayer? The man said, sorry, sir. Said, another person should pray. Another person prayed. And we walked in. It challenged me. The time has come when both your inner eyes and the outside one has to be wide open. And this is why we're doing this study. Amen. So take your paper now. How does God communicate? How God communicates. How God communicates. God communicates through three outlets. The three outlets are listed in the paper before you. Number one is through Revelation. What did I say? Revelation is when something is covered, then God opens your eyes to see it. We call it revelation. When somebody says, I had a revelation, it means that something that was closed, God opens it, and the person could see it now. We call that revelation. As you find in Psalm 19, verse 1, it talks about the heavens declaring the glory of God. Then the second way God speaks is through inspiration, how He communicates. Through inspiration, because you are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And because of that inspiration, you begin to see things. When the Spirit of God comes upon a man, He gives that man inspiration. Then things that others don't know, others don't see, you begin to see it. Then the third one is through illumination. God sheds light on what is dark. This thing is dark. Nobody knows it, but God just puts light there and you can understand it. The communication of the Almighty can be divided into those three categories. Now listen to this very important point. You know, this is just an outline for you to take home and study. You still have to take your notes and listen to me carefully. The most important need, I say that again, the most important need of any serious child of God is to hear clearly from God. That's the most important thing. The most important need of any serious child of God is to do what? We hear clearly from God. If everybody in the church can hear clearly from God, the pastor will have few problems. If everybody can hear clearly from God, the counselors will have very few problems. If everybody can hear clearly from God, most of the problem you put yourself in and you start getting out, you won't even get inside, let alone trying to get out. If everybody can hear clearly from God, if you can hear, I can hear, everybody can hear, then there will be no problems again. Won't it be lovely if, as you are sitting down there, God opens your eyes like Joseph and you see your future, you know where you are going. All those your family members, God shows them to you one by one. You know who is who. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if, for example, some of you are doing the examination now. You have a paper tomorrow, and by tonight, God just comes to you and says, okay, my son, this is what is coming out. That's what is coming out. Don't read this. Don't read this. Read that. Wouldn't it be wonderful? So, the most important need of any serious child of God is to hear clearly from God. When you begin to hear from God as a Christian, it is that day your progress begins. That's the day you begin to make progress. If you are a dumb Christian, you are a bat. You can't hear anything. You will even be frustrated. But God doesn't want us to be like that. He doesn't want us to be frustrated Christians. He wants us to be able to hear clearly from Him. Some of you are here. Your father gave birth to you and ran away. The reason he ran away was because your mother did not know who to marry when she married him. That's why the man has disappeared now. But if you can know, you can hear from God, you can hear clearly, say, don't go there. You sit down here. Don't do this. Don't do that. Then you begin to move. There was a plane crash in Nigeria. I was a man inside that plane. As they entered the plane, he sat down, he just bowed down and said to pray a short prayer, like his normal practice anytime he entered the plane. He said as he closed his eyes, he just saw plenty of blood. Huh? When he saw the blood, he rose up. He took his briefcase. And he was on his way out. The AI said, where are you going? Where are you going? If you get down, you will enter again. You lose your money. Say, don't worry. Don't worry. He got down. He was the only one who did not die in that plane crash. He got, in fact, they thought he was inside. So it's useful. The most useful thing for you is to hear from God. Human beings are not all human beings. Life is not what it presents to you in the surface. there's some things at the back that you need to see. So when you begin to hear from God, your progress as a believer begins. And that day, I tell you the truth, the day you begin to learn these simple principles of hearing from God and you begin to put it into use in your personal life, it's a great day in your life, a day you will never forget. And when you are now able to communicate with God, then you enter into deep communion with God. You could sit somewhere and talk to God for 1 hour. Your lips may not be moving, but you are communicating with your Maker. And God wants that to happen. God wants us to be like that. I pray that the Lord will open your understanding.
Amen.
And that those who are already getting everything wrong and they're already making mistakes, that heaven will open their understanding.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. We've made the first point that the most serious need of any child of God is to hear God very clearly. We've made the second point that the day you begin to hear from God, your progress as a believer begins. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Are we there? If you are not there, stay, wait for me. Okay, we'll wait. Revelation 3:20. It said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." God is a communicator. He's always communicating. He's a communicator. But it is one thing for God to communicate. It's another thing for you to get it. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and you open, I will come in." God is always communicating. The trouble is that God will not speak to rebellious people. God will not speak to people who are not serious. God will not speak to people who don't want to do what God wants them to do. God will not speak to rebellious people. God will not speak to those who are playing with sin. God will not speak with young people who have one leg in the church and one leg outside. God doesn't talk to such people. They, as far as he's concerned, they are just pollution. Unclean. God doesn't talk to vehicles that are unclean. I want you to understand that very well. So we've made some points here now. One, the most serious need of any child of God is for him or her to hear God clearly. Two, the day you begin to hear from God, your progress begins as a believer. Three, God is a communicator. But the fact that he's communicating does not mean that you will hear him. So you need to know how to hear him. We've made that point. The fourth point we should make, and which is equally very serious, hearing God's voice does not come automatically. Hearing God's voice does not come automatically. Any human being that is born of Adam is born deaf and dumb to God. Once Adam is your father, you are born deaf and dumb to God. Therefore, hearing from God is something you have to learn. You learn it. You have to learn it. As a matter of fact, hearing from God is the key to obtaining most of the blessings many of us are praying for. When you hear from God, you hear him and obey his voice. It's a key to his blessings. The Bible teaches us simple things to do that will enable us to hear from God. Then, hearing from God is not something just for pastors or for spiritual giants or for apostles or for some general overseers. It's for everybody. It's not for some specific people, it's for everybody. Look at the book of John chapter 10, verse 27. John 10, 27. Are we there? If you are there, can all of us read it together? Whose sheep hear his voice? My sheep. When God spoke to Pharaoh, let which people go? It's my people you should let go. And if you are there in that land of Egypt and you are not God's people, they shouldn't let you go. It's just holy days. Let my people go. My sheep hear my voice. So when you want to start hearing God, you become his sheep first. When you want deliverance, you become my people. Because he says, let my people go. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. So hearing from God is not just for spiritual giants. It's for everybody. All of you here, you can become your own prophet. That's why Moses said, oh, I wish that all men will become prophets. So then the problem of the pastor will reduce. If all of you are your prophets now, oh, this meeting will be more glorious. Anywhere you are gathered, even ordinary 25 prophets, they are enough to turn this Lagos upside down. Turn everywhere upside down. The good news is that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When God speaks to you, he speaks to your spirit, not your brain. It's your spirit he's going to talk to, not to your brain. The human mind is sometimes a very busy market. It's like a radio turned on as full blast. All kinds of thoughts are passing there. So you hear from God from your inner man. We will get to all that very quickly, very soon. We'll get to all that very quickly. In the natural, there are different ways of communication. Natural. Different ways of communication. And we'll get to that too very soon. But right now, let's go back to this, our handout here. Why does God speak? What is number one? Danger is coming. You need a voice to say, don't go there. Don't do this. Don't do that. This passage, Acts 27, was Paul in the ship. When the ship was about to go, Paul stood up. Say, men, I perceive that this journey is very dangerous for us. Say, don't let us go now. They didn't listen to Paul. They just went. And they saw Pepe. Those men who went. So, you need to hear from God so that he can warn you when danger is approaching. What is number two? Just like Joseph, to give you a picture of your destiny. He told Joseph, this is what you are going to become. Men are going to be bowed down to you. You need to know where God is taking you. You need to have a Joseph's dream. You need to have a clear picture of where God is taking you to. When you lack a picture of your destiny because you cannot hear from God, you can abuse your own destiny without knowing it. You can even leave the place of your destiny without knowing because you did not hear from God. I pray that any deaf spiritual ears here tonight shall be opened in the name of Jesus. So don't forget, you need to go home, take your Bible and study this. Open all passages and study. That's what they call Bible study. You open up Bible. All these passages are the front of the points. You need to go home and open them one by one, and begin to study them. Number three, why does God speak? To reveal the secrets of your enemy. And once you know the secret of your enemy, that enemy cannot defeat you. It cannot defeat you because you know the secret. The story here is Elijah. Anything that the king of Syria wanted to do, Elijah will go and tell them, this is where they are hiding. 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 So, and because of that, king of Israel got so many victories because he could locate where they were hiding. I pray that you too will locate your enemies. To reveal the secret of what? Of your enemies. That's why God speaks. To reveal the secret of your enemy. And I can go on and on giving you testimonies and experiences about how God will reveal to you, this is the secret of your enemy. This is why your enemy is hiding. This is what they are doing to you. This is what they are planning to do. God reveals that secret. What's number four? To correct you. Number five? God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. What's number six? Number seven? Number eight? God speaks to you to give you an information. What you are required to put down in an examination is information. So God can give any information. Any information. What's number nine? Number ten? Number 11? Number 12? 13? 14? 15? 16? 17? 18? 19? 20? 21? 22? 23? 24? 25? And 26? Those are the 26 reasons why God speaks to us. You can see that none of these 26 can you play with. Just throw aside. Well, I don't need it. I don't need it. And if at this young age now, you begin to learn how God speaks, how He speaks, some of the mistakes your daddy, your mommy, or grandfather, grandma had made, you will not even move close to those mistakes, let alone getting in and trying to get out. We go to the next stage. What are the advantages of hearing from God? When you hear from God, there will be what? Joy in your heart. Two. When you hear from God, what happened to Satan? Satan fears you because they know you can hear and that they can't deceive you. And what's number four? Your life will be organized when you hear from God. Not some. You want to take this exam, want to take that exam, want to take this exam, want to take this, so you don't really know which exam to take. In fact, you are taking the exam nobody asked you to take. And you are pursuing the course nobody asked you to pursue. You are passing an examination nobody asked you to pass. Because you don't really need it for your destiny. But you waste a whole lot of your time doing it. But when God speaks to you, you get your organized. He organizes your life for you. Number five. Number six, you won't move with unprofitable people. Number seven, you have peace of mind. Eight, because people know you can hear from God, they respect you a lot. Number nine, 10, you know the secrets of God and man. And the best definition of power is to know the secrets of God. When you know the secrets of God, then you know the deepest of all secrets, then you have power in your hand. And number 11, you will be spiritually sound. That's the advantage of God speaking to you. Section number 4. How do we now know the voice of God? How do we know the voice of God? To know the voice of God, number one, we must commit our lives completely to the Lord. Number two, number three, number four, and number five. That's how we know the voice of God. When God speaks to you, because if it's God speaking to you, there are ways you know it's God talking or whatever is talking. That leads us to another major point which you must note. There are only three voices in the universe. Only three voices in the universe. There is the voice of man. The voice of man. That is your own voice. You are the one talking inside. Or another man. is talking to you. That is the voice of man. There is the voice of the devil. That is, the enemy is talking to you. Then, there is the voice of God. Those are the three voices. All three voices are always speaking. They're always speaking. The beautiful thing is to be able to identify the voice of God out of all the three voices that are always talking. If you have been coming to the youth church for some time now, it's possible for you that whenever any pastor picks the microphone, without opening your eyes, you know, this is so-and-so. That's so-and-so. The reason you are able to recognize that voice is because you are used to hearing it. The same thing with God. If you are used to hearing God speak, God is speaking. When another voice, which is not that of God, is speaking, you say, no, this is not the voice of God. This is the voice of the enemy. I remember the story of that brother who was praying some fire prayers at home. And as he was praying, somebody in white garment appeared in a vision before him. He first of all was rejoicing that it was an angel of God. But when the man in white garment began to speak, the man raised up his left hand and said, "It is written, I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness." Now he said, it is so. Okay. You are raising up your left hand and you are talking about upholding with right hand. Said, "Receive fire." The thing disappeared. It was then he knew it was not an angel. When God speaks to you, number one, it will glorify his name. So what is the first way you can know that it's God talking to you? It will glorify his name. Anything that you say you have received and you want to go and do it and it doesn't glorify the name of the Lord, it is not God speaking. It's something else. God said I should go and fight. It's not true. It will not glorify his name. God said I should steal. No. It can't be God because it will not glorify his name. Two, it will cause you to worship him if it's God speaking to you. Three, it will agree with scriptures. Any voice that anybody is hearing, anything that anybody is saying he hears in the spirit realm and is against the Bible is not God. It's not. Once the thing is against the Bible, it's not God. Is that pastor that said, God said, I should marry three wives. I said, no. No. God said, you should marry three wives. Which God? The one that wrote the Bible. Another one. No. We can't take that from you. It's not scriptural. It will agree with scripture. I was at an IVG many years back. That time we were very foolish. We were at an IVG. And somebody began to prophesy at the back. Say, "My children, in 30 minutes time, I want all of you to pray some special prayer. Blah, 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 blah. And that prayer that I want all of you to pray, everybody must be naked." IVG. And he said, "Whoever disobeys this instruction will die." Serious prophecy at the back. This is a serious matter. And I was only one woman in the meeting, the pastor's wife. All of us were brothers. What do we do now? Some people have already started removing their trousers. Until somebody said, "No, that can't be from the Almighty God because this is what is written." And he went into scripture and said, God even warned Moses. He said, "Moses, anytime you are coming before me, make sure that you fasten your underwear very well. Wear your garment. Don't expose your nakedness before my altar." So what this man is saying is not of God. And he pointed to the scripture and we agreed with him. Amen. So once something is coming out and it's not scriptural, it is not from God. All these ladies who will come and say, this is the person I want to marry. But he's smoking cigarettes, say he will change. But he's telling lies, small, he will change. When a believer wants to marry an unbeliever, and you say, God showed me. The fact that he's an unbeliever makes that voice you are hearing unscriptural voice. It's the voice of the enemy that is speaking to your ears. 4. When God speaks, what will it do to you? It will impart the knowledge of God. 5. When God speaks, what will it do to you? To cause. And lastly, so when God speaks to you, that's how you can test it out. Say, is this God talking? Is this the voice of God? If it's the voice of God, it will glorify His name. If it's God talking to you, it will cause you to worship Him. If it's God talking to you, it will agree with the Bible. If it's God talking to you, it will impart the knowledge of God to you. If it's God talking to you, it will cause you to love others or God more. It will put love in your heart. If God is talking to you, it will bring a response. It will be a spiritual response. If God is the one that is talking to you and not the devil or yourself talking to you. And that is the state in life. Many became pastors because of the voice of man. Many became pastors because of the voice of the devil. The devil actually called some pastors. Many became pastors because of the voice of God. It's all things are like that. And until you can discern which voice is speaking and follow it correctly, the major part of humanity is in trouble and many people are completely lost. This is why to get peace in this world will be so difficult, because a lot of people are just listening to the devil and do what they are doing. Some are listening to their own people, their own voice, and they do what they are doing. Only few do listen to God. But it says, behold, I stand at the door and do what? And knock. If any man hear my voice and you open the door, I will come in and then dine with you. We now go to a very serious part of this lecture. How does God speak? What are the methods of divine communication? Human beings, there are ways we communicate. You can speak verbally. It's communication. I say, stand up, sit down, I'm communicating. I can wave my hand and say, do like this. What am I saying? If I do like this, am I not communicating? But I'm not talking. It's not talk. It's hand. That, this. It's communication. But there is no speech. Somebody can say, excuse me, can I go out and I do like this? What does that mean? Go. Did I talk? Go. That not too is what? Communication. You can make facial expression. You may be inside an examination or a quiz program, attending an interview, and they ask you a question, and you're already answering it wrongly. Somebody, what is it telling you? Say, you are talking rubbish. It's not talking, but it's doing what? It's communicating. Some, it's a certain wink in the eye. It's telling you. It's talking to you, but it's still communication. You see, the way we have various ways like that, that human beings communicate, that's how God too has different methods that He communicates. It's not only by your ear God can communicate. There are different methods. In fact, out of 50 or so, I've only put 32 in your paper, ways that God communicates. And every Christian, every born-again child of God must have one method, one, at least one, by which God communicates with you. If out of these 32, you can't find one that God can use to speak to you, then there is a serious problem indeed. And the Almighty will have to do special deliverance on that person. God is a communicator. God speaks. God talks. God is alive. God is not dead. Just as God is willing to speak, all He's looking for is availability. Those who will make themselves available and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is here. Who wants to hear? But these days, we have more of listen, Lord, for your servant is speaking. Instead of speak, Lord, your servant is here. So let's look at these vehicles of divine communication and see how far we can go today before we adjourn. If we don't finish today, that means we'll continue another time. The first method is face to face in a two-way communication. God speaks to people face to face in a two-way communication. What's the first method? In Exodus 33 verse 11. Open your Bible to this passage because it's important you see it. Because we're not here to joke, we're here for serious business. Are we there? Exodus 3:11. Let somebody with a loud voice read it at the center there.
And the Lord spake unto Moses.
Thank you, sir. Yes.
As a man speaketh unto his friend.
Yes.
And he called again into the ground.
Yes.
For the servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed forth out of the tabernacle.
Thank you very much. God bless you. The Lord spake unto Moses. How? That is the way you are seeing me now. Look, the way I'm talking to you now. God talks to people like that, face to face, like this. Face to face. And if God does not want to talk to you, it means something is wrong with you. Something is wrong somewhere with you. So that first method is face to face. But if you want God to do a face-to-face talk with you, then you will require deep consecration, deep seriousness with God. Definitely, the eyes that will see God face-to-face is not the eyes that are just eating fried chicken, pounded yam, and ogbono soup, or Santana and Congo meat. Not the people who see God face to face are people who have consecrated themselves in fasting, in prayer, because with this our ordinary eye, you can't see God. It's with the spiritual eye that is inside that you can see God. Then you can talk to him face to face. Remember Elijah said, get away, get back in Bethel. Say, I'm not going back. Jericho, go back. Say, I'm not going back. Gilgal, go back. I'm not going back. Then when they were going towards Jordan, said, what do you want me to do for you? Elisha said, my father, let me receive a double portion of your power. So you have asked for a hard thing. I mean, for Elijah to say, you have asked for a hard thing. Because you say somebody should give you double portion. The person that you are asking for double portion only has one portion. Now, if you say, give me your own, fine, that's a different thing. Then I want double. So you have asked for a hard thing. Say, however, if you see me, what I'm being taken away from you, it shall be so. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so. And chariots of fire came from heaven. You don't see chariots of fire with human eyes. I'm sure long, long time before that time, Elisha will have stopped eating. I've stopped eating. I've been fasting to let his spiritual senses be very, very sharp. So for those who want face-to-face communication with God, if you're a lover of food, forget it. If you're a lover of television, forget it. If you're a lover of looking at women and studying all their various contours of the body, forget it. You can't. Such as, can't see God face to face. If you're a lover of movies, just watching film, forget it. Those eyes can't see God. They can't see God. If you're a lover of all those terrible magazines that people are reading, 100 men with long legs, 10 women with large breasts, 10 men with fat neck, the big boys of Port Harcourt, big boys of Lagos, 70 dancers in Enugu. Yeah, that's. That's what you are reading. Forget it. No, it's not for people like you. When you are really serious with God, things begin to happen. Many years back, I was in my office as a researcher at the Nigerian Institute for Medical Research. And a pastor came to me from Benin. He was a young man. He came to me, he knelt down and started crying.
Say, man of God. Oh, man of God. The only thing I want from you, just lay those hands on my head. Just those hands. Just lay it on my head. I know that once you lay those hands on my head, my ministry will prosper.
I said, but why do you want me to lay hands on your head? He said, sir, see, of all the people we started church together, I'm the only one without a car. Nobody's, the church will be full tomorrow. Tomorrow they won't come. The choir people are always fighting. So, pray for me, sir. And I said, okay. Stand up. I have one question for you. So, what's the question, sir? I said, who was Joseph Ayo Babalola? He said, is he a politician? I said, okay. I said, you know what? Get out of my office right now. Right now. And don't come back here again until you have studied everything you need to know about that man. Get out of here. Say you won't pray. Say prayer. Get out. So he left. Was looking confused. He left. After 2 months or so, he was back. That day, he had changed. He said, sir, I want to thank you for asking me to go and find out about that man. I never knew such a man existed in this country. Because at the age of 26, God had used Babalola to turn this country upside down for Jesus. The man was an expert at fasting, an expert at prayer, an expert at doing exploits for Jesus. He read it. It changed his life. He now came and said, I've read it, sir. What else do you want me to do so that I can get power? I said, okay. Do you have a television in your sitting room? Say yes. What time do you watch it? Say, every day, at least 9 o'clock news. I said, remove the television. I said, but why? How about news? I said, since you have been listening to news, what has it done for your life? He said, okay, sir. I said, okay, sir. Okay, sir. How many times do you fast in a week? I said, but before I read about Babalola, I didn't used to fast at all. I said, but when I read about him, I was fasting only on Wednesday. I said, now. Every week, pick 3 days dry fast. Say, hey! Say, yes. It's okay. How many times do you sleep with your wife in a week? Say, ah, we only go on holiday on Saturday. Say, because I don't sleep with her on Saturday because of Sunday service. So that I won't be too tired. Say, listen. Reduces to once a week. Say, yes, sir. He went away. By the time he will come back, oh, was a different human being. He asked one of the largest churches in Benin. So I'm talking to you. So a face-to-face, two-way communication is possible. God is still in that business. If you are ready for it. If you are ready for it. There is no shortcut to meeting, to having an encounter with God. You must be ready for it. And if at your young age now, you can't connect God, is it when you're an old man, you want to start connecting God? If at your young age now, you say, God, talk to me. Say, I don't talk to people like you. Then when do you want to hear from him? You'll get confused and there'll be plenty of trouble. So the first one is what? Face-to-face, the two-way communication. Number two, by voice. A voice. Exodus chapter 3, verse 24. Exodus is not... Something is wrong with that place. The scripture there is wrong. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4, not 24. Are we there? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see it, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. So God can speak to you by what? A voice. You can hear a voice. And that the voice will be so clear to you that you can't make a mistake. That is God speaking to you. How many of you want to hear the voice of God? Then shout a loud amen.
Amen.
In 1977, I was on my bed. A voice thundered in through the window. The voice was like the voice of rolling thunder. Like rolling thunder. It thundered through my window. As a small boy at that time, I was confused. I jumped off my bed. I got outside. It was 1 a.m. None of our tenants were around. Everybody has, they've slept. So I went back to my bedroom. I went back to bed. After about 5 minutes again, the voice, lovely, wonderful voice. It was like a rolling thunder. But at the same time, it was very sweet to the ears. The voice came again. I wanted to jump up. But something ministered to me, said, remember Samuel. Remember Samuel. Remember Samuel. So I stayed on the bed. Part of what he said to me in 1977 was the story of MFM that now started in 1989. 1977. By a voice. If you want God to speak to you by voice, want to hear him the way you are hearing me now, a certain level of discipline is needed to get to that one too. A certain level of discipline is needed. The first discipline you need, if you want to hear the voice of God, is that you yourself must put a padlock in your mouth. You must speak only when it is necessary to speak. Once you are suffering from verbal diarrhea, God too will not talk to you. Once your words are 200 words per minute, blah 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 blah. Forget about that voice. You are talking too much. Because God does not speak while man himself is talking. Doesn't. So you must shut up your mouth. Those who talk too much, they talk away their virtues. Talk away their virtues. Talk too much. When you can stand in a place and talk to somebody for 2 hours, what are you telling him? No, it's not Bible. It's not the word of God. You are talking. You talk to a person for 2 hours. I say, we are planning to marry. We just can't keep away from talking to each other. We have to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. The parrot anointing will keep you away from hearing the voice of God. So part of the reason God is not talking to some of us is that we talk too much. The time God ought to talk to you is the time you are talking. And you can't command God to talk to you. He talks when he likes. And if when he's talking, you are talking, you won't hear anything. When you are talkative, you will not hear the voice of God. So the first discipline for anybody who wants to hear his voice is to control your what? Your tongue. Tongue control. Control your tongue. The second discipline for anybody who wants to be hearing the voice of God is that you have to pray much. Pray much prayer. Why? Because there are lots of other terrible voices that are talking all kinds of jazz and terrible things to people. So you have to be a person of prayer. Pray much. Pray much. If you have prayed for 10 minutes before, increase it to 15 minutes. 15 minutes. And anytime you want to pray, I recommend put a clock at your front. Close your eyes and then start. When you say, in Jesus' name we pray, look at the clock. If the clock says 10 minutes, close your eyes, continue. In Jesus' name we pray, look at the clock. If it says 15 minutes, close your eyes, continue. We determine, now I want to pray for 1 hour. And start. Pray. If you know that you don't know what to pray, get the book, get prayer in, get something, get a guide. And then you start praying. By the time you pray, by the time you do your praise worship, you ask for forgiveness of sin. You pray for yourself. You pray for your spiritual life. You pray for your career. Then you take your brothers and sisters one by one. And if you come from a large family, God have mercy on you, then you pray. You have to pray for them. You have to mention their names. Your daddy, your mommy, your brother. You pray for them one by name, one by one. Then if you're a member of a church, you pray for your church. By the time you finish all that, you've gone past 30 minutes. But this kind of prayer, you pray as if hot yam is burning your mouth. Will not make you to hear the voice of God, though. Let me tell you the truth now. This is why sometimes we say, but why can't God talk to me? Why am I not? It's because you've never settled down really to consecrate yourself to hearing his voice. And lots of us, when we pray, we run away very quickly from the prayer altar. Run away very quickly from the prayer altar. When you are praying, you are talking to God. Then prayer is not just one-way communication. Prayer is two-way communication. When you start praying, you are talking to God. After you have prayed, you have to keep quiet and hear what he himself is going to tell you. When you say, blah, 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 in Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you stand up and you go away. So that's one-way communication. Hello, ma. Yes, supposing not you. Supposing somebody comes now and says he wants to marry you. And he comes to your house, day one. This is first visit of the man to your house. And he said, hello, how are you? I love you, blah, 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 blah. And he talk. You say, but let me talk. He said, no, listen to me. Blah, 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 blah. And he talk. After 30 minutes, he's still talking. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. And then, after 45 minutes of talking alone, without listening to you, say, bye. That was his first visit. Second visit, he came again. Hello, how are you? Blah, 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 blah. Le, 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 la, 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 talk. Let me talk. No, listen. Blah, 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 blah. What will you say? It's crazy. Smart. He just tell him, say, excuse me, sir, don't come here again. Come here again. But do you know that's what we do to God? That's what we do now. You kneel down, you talk to him, then for him to talk back, that disappeared. So you make it a one-way communication as if you're a mad person. That's what we do. These are the secrets why people don't hear God anymore. Sometimes after prayer like that, you could be there for 5 minutes, nothing will talk yet. But when God will begin to speak gently, 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 like he said, Samuel, Samuel, twice, Samuel. God always called people twice, Samuel, Samuel. Once he calls the first one, he will repeat it just in case you didn't hear, Samuel. When he called Moses in that Exodus, twice, Moses, Moses, it's always twice. Samuel, Samuel, Samuel heard, but he didn't recognize the voice of God. He ran to the priest, Eli. Say, were you calling me, daddy? He said, no, I didn't call you. So go back to sleep. Went back to sleep. Again, the voice came. Samuel. Why are you calling me daddy? He said, no, I didn't call you. But Eli, the reason Samuel ran to Eli was because that voice that was calling Samuel was loud enough in his ears as if everybody in the temple was hearing it. The synagogue was hearing it. It was that loud. If not, he won't rush him and say, did you call me? It was that loud. Although that voice was that loud until Samuel thought somebody was calling him inside the temple, Eli did not hear it. He did not hear. He now said, okay, he now perceived that God was calling him. And I said, next time you hear the voice, say, speak, Lord, for your servant hear it. And Samuel went back. Speak, Lord, for the servant hear it. And the voice began to talk to Samuel. Began to talk to Samuel. At the age of 7, at the age of 8, that fellow got information that shook the whole of Israel. You are above 7. You are above 8. You cannot hear from God. Something is wrong. Says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. You are a young man. You are not seeing vision. What you are seeing is a celebrity magazine. There's a problem somewhere. So that's voices. Elijah was a man who heard clearly from God. And let me tell you something. If you are serious about what I'm saying tonight, say, okay, this is what our Jew has told us. I want to put it to practice. You will see what will happen. So let me practice what he has said. Let me pray more than I've been praying. Let me listen more. Let me control the way I talk. Let me not listen to gossipers anymore because the gossip is polluting my ears. Let me not listen to evil music that will block my ears. And I won't allow me to hear from God. Let me not put on serpent earrings in my ear. And God wants to talk to you. There's a serpent in your hair. You say it's earring, but it's a serpent. I just do like this. Say. And you can't hear. That's why many sisters find it so convenient to obey the voice of deceivers. When you find a man with a smooth mouth, sweet talker. Yeah. The guy began to talk. He's stuck. Yeah. I just flew down from the United States of America. I came from New York. Yes. So, hey, you see that guy? Hey. I just smell his perfume a little bit. And they just carry you away. He's calling you angel. Well, he himself has never seen angel before. So this is what confuses most sisters. God will have mercy on all of us. Our time is gone. Number 3, by dreams. By dreams. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 6. Or let's read from verse 3. Genesis 23. Are we there? But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken for, she's a man's wife. That's the first person to steal a wife in the Bible. And God came to him in the dream and said, you are a thief. You have stolen Abraham's wife. You better return the wife. Let the man pray for you so that you will not die. So God communicates to us through dreams. If you have been coming to the youth church, you will have had a message, meeting God in your dreams. That was preached a long time ago. How you can meet or dreaming divine dreams. how you can meet God in your dreams. A dream can instruct you. A dream can teach you. A dream can warn you of danger. And there are so many dreamers in the Word of God. And God speaks to people through dreams. A lot of people have dreamt their way into breakthrough. I saw one sister in London. In fact, the day she was telling this story, I felt sorry for her. She was living in abject poverty. Abject poverty that time. She said one day she cried. She was not born again at that time. She cried to sleep because of poverty. Then in her dream, that night, she dreamt. And she saw three numbers. And you know, they play this lottery overseas. It's one lottery they provide. They win millions and millions of pounds. I think the last man that won him won almost 30 million pounds. Lottery. So she saw these three numbers in her dream. So when she woke up, she gave the last money she had to the husband and said, "Darling, go and buy the lottery ticket and write these three numbers." So the man took the money. Ask him what the man used the money to buy. Mass chocolate. The husband used the money to buy mass chocolate and ate it. And he did not buy the lottery ticket, neither did he put in the number. When the winning number came out, it was those three numbers. And the person who won it had won 17 million pounds. My sister, you will not marry a deficit. 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 In the name of Jesus. Rise up on your feet now. Rise up on your feet. Amen. When you get home tonight, review what you have studied here. Read those scriptures one at a time. Then, if you have questions for me, put them down, bring them, pass them to your pastors, who come and answer them next week. The computer is still standing there, first prize. Other two prizes will join again next week. Praise the Lord. All eyes closed. How many of you have been blessed by coming here tonight? Now, pray these prayers from your heart. Pray these prayers from your heart. These are the kind of prayers that have brought spiritual breakthrough to many. The kind of prayers that some men of God have prayed, and the prayers have moved their lives forward. It's those kind of prayers I want you to pray now. I want you to pray with the spirit of enough is enough. The spirit of somebody who doesn't want to continue the way he's been going. Say this loud and clear. Spiritual deafness. Spiritual blindness. In my life. Die. In the name of Jesus. That's right. Something is happening here already. Yes. Open your mouth and deal with the blindness and the deafness of the spirit. Something must happen in your life tonight. Yes. 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 Masapola kayabo shenteraba. In Jesus' name we pray. Something's already happening here. I tell you, something's already happening here. Some are already receiving the touch of fire. That's the power of God coming upon you. Yes. Shout this now loud and clear. And as many people as pray this in faith, this will happen tonight. Say, in my sleep tonight. Oh God!